Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the studio is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. My goodness, in our previous programs, I want to welcome, first of all of our VFN Radio listeners. We're so encouraged by you guys listening and visiting our Facebook page and all the comments. It's so encouraging. You know, we know that we are doing this together. We are keeping the torch high and lifted up, and we want to continue to do this for as long as the Lord will allow us. And so your feedback, your partnership means everything, and we want to encourage you. Visit VFNTV.com. We've made some changes to better serve you and make things easier for you to navigate. I really think they've done a fantastic, wonderful job. Please be sure to visit and let us know what you think. But you know, in our previous programs, we were talking about Booker T. Washington, Pat, and some of the amazing contributions that he has made to, you know, America and what he's done for the African-American community, especially during a time where, you know, slaves were being freed. He felt a mandate, a call, if you will, to prepare them, you know, for future service, to prepare them to you know, do their own stuff and have businesses and get educated. And so he started a school. And I just think about, you know, not despising the day of small beginnings, because this man, at the age of 9, when he was just a boy, was working in salt mines. Mm. You know, we've talked about this so many times before about, you know, children today, sometimes they're not even pushed enough. You know, oftentimes they're not challenged. And here you have a man that at 9 years old is working in a salt mine. I mean, he wasn't cutting grass. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it was a boy.
It was a boy working, you know, in the salt mines. And then that he traveled over 200 miles just to go to school. And so it just shows you that, you know, hard work won't kill you. But oftentimes, I think hard work would actually make you even better, mm-hmm. and appreciate the things that you do have. And apparently, this is, you know, we can see this in the life of Booker T. Washington. And because of one faithful man who said, listen, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to educate. I'm going to do the best that I can. He was able to recruit amazing talent. We've talked about George Washington Carver and some of the wonderful things. Listen, they didn't have, at that time, they didn't have a lot of resources, so they weren't able to have all the fancy labs and all these different things. It is said that George Washington Carver would take his students, Pat, to different, you know, landfills and kind of, you know, junkyard type places, and they would pick up scraps and mm-hmm. improvise and use all these different, you know, things they'd find on the ground and use them as tools in their science labs. And I would even believe that other scientists were trying to recruit George Washington Carver away. I believe Albert Einstein was one of them.
Oh, wow.
And they paid him a really high salary, and he said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. So they maintained faithful to their call and establishing this college, this university. It's called Tuskegee University. Mm-hmm. And because they did, now we can look back over the many, many years that this institution has been, you know, around and look at some of their distinguished alumni. One of them being Tom Joyner. Some people may know him, but he has a radio show that's it's syndicated all across the country, and he's well known, and he's done, you know, pretty well. You may know this guy. I don't know if Pat, you ever listened to his songs, but a guy by the name of Lionel Richie.
Oh yeah, back in the day.
Oh yeah, Lionel Richie. You know, say hello. He was he was out there in Tuskegee, and he's a graduate. He's an alumni.
Oh wow.
And there's another gentleman. Now, you know the Super Soaker water gun.
Uh-huh.
Well, the inventor, his name is Lonnie Johnson. And I just happened to see a video on him last night. And Lonnie Johnson, this man is, like, brilliant. He's an inventor. Thermodynamic systems, he's worked with in NASA. And he has 12 U.S. patents, and mm-hmm. he wants to do this other research. But he couldn't get anyone to fund it. And so, by chance, he happened to invent the Super Soaker. And with all those, you know, the money that came from that, he was able to do the stuff that he really loves to do. And do a bunch of research. Really interesting and, you know, amazing person. But did you know someone, one of our very own here in Pensacola, is an alumni from Tuskegee University? General Daniel Chappie James. He is a graduate.
Oh, wow.
If you don't know much about Chappie James, General Chappie James, he was the nation's first black four-star general.
Oh, wow.
And when you look back, and that's just some of their distinguished alumni, but when you look back and you say, wow, what a difference one man can make. Listen, Booker D. Washington has done so much. In fact, I mean, we know of high schools that are named after him, mm-hmm. and a lot of other buildings. I mean, and we're just this is just the tip of what he's done. He wrote some amazing books that a lot of people have read and have been encouraged. And I'm just grateful for the history that sometimes, you know, hey, I didn't know anything about Booker T. Washington until I was an adult. You know, a lot of this stuff is just not being taught in schools. And I'm grateful for the opportunity now to be exposed and to learn more about it. This is just absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Well, you know, I was watching this program, Pat, and I thought it was really, really interesting. Some time ago, I was actually watching it with my boys, and it's amazing what you can learn from a little television program. But they have this program out there that I believe it's called Restaurant Impossible or something. Don't quote me on the name here, but
yeah, something like that.
The concept is that there's a chef who apparently knows how to cook, but he also knows how to run a restaurant. And the whole, you know, background of the program is that he comes in to save failing restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he comes in, you know, there's a host of problems that are typical, that, you know, that's going on typically in most of these restaurants. It could be, you know, the food quality is not that good. It could be that most of the time they have no ambiance. It's all just, you know, put together and just dilapidated things that are just falling apart.
Right.
Oftentimes, it's poor management skills, so they're not, you know, working efficiently and effectively. They have poor marketing, and you wonder sometimes how did you guys get along? How did you guys make money in this? This is a for profit business because
right.
He kind of, you know, pulls back the veil, if you will, and he allows you to see what's really happening in this restaurant. And some of the things that you see, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, and. What's interesting in this one particular program, he was talking to this owner, and you know, as we're watching this, I'm like, oh guys, we can learn something from here. let's watch this here, because it's amazing what you can learn when you're just looking objectively. You know, it's like, okay. Well, this guy, the owner of this restaurant, his food quality wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
According to the chef, and he's, you know, he tastes everything and he's looking at it, but the owner, who needs help, he's on the program because he needs help. That's why you're on the program. Something's wrong, and you know, the chef comes in. His name is Robert, and he, you know, gives you a plan. He's gonna fix your restaurant. He's gonna get it back the way it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
and then dump like $10,000. Invest $10,000 into doing what they have to do to mm-hmm. make this thing right. So you don't get on this program because you're doing everything right. You get on this program because you're doing things wrong. Okay, that's
right.
The point.
Right.
But this gentleman that he's talking to, which I've seen, you know, a few of these, you know, programs already, so I kind of know how it works. But this particular owner, he wasn't playing ball. No matter what Robert showed him, he just did not agree. He wasn't having it at all. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is like live. You know, pride and live and living color right in front of you. And, you know, the chef is telling him, hey, man, this food, this is not quality. You can't serve. This is why people are not coming back and all these different mm-hmm. things. Oh, no, I make the best, you know, so-and-so. I make the best. And he couldn't listen to correction. He couldn't listen to advice. He mm-hmm. had the best stuff. So Robert's like, I got to get it, you know. It's important that he understands that he gets this revelation, basically. So they did a taste test. So they cooked the very same thing, and they took it to, you know, some folks in the community and said, hey, we want you to try this food and, you know, mm-hmm. put a little marker. And overwhelmingly, the folks decided to choose, you know, the chef's meal, the same meal that they cooked, over the owner of this restaurant.
Right.
And so he was, you know, humbled and had to admit that his stuff wasn't all that great.
Right.
But this was like, you know, scenario after scenario after scenario. And what you saw consistently in this man was that he's just very prideful.
Mm.
He's just very, and he just couldn't see. And we talked about yesterday on a previous program regarding the importance of guarding your heart. You know, Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring, the the source of life, and everything flows out of it. And how, you know, if you harden your heart, allow your heart to get hardened, there's a progression that follows that, you know, you become prideful. And once you become, you know, prideful, then you, you open yourself to become spiritually blind. You become blind in a lot of areas. And then ultimately you fall into deception. And like this guy here was, you know, deceived. He thought his stuff was good. And it wasn't. And the Bible says that in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction. And it's something that we really have to check ourselves, right, before we wreck ourselves, that, you know, pride is a dangerous, dangerous thing. The whole thing about this whole scenario, Pat, for this gentleman was that everyone else in the restaurant, his employees, his wife, even customers that they allowed to sample the food, was clearly able to see what this man was not able to see for himself. And it was pride that was wasn't allowing him to see it.
Right.
And it's so many times, you know, we can see that happening in our own life if we allow pride just to take its, you know, course in our life. There are things that we just don't see. And sometimes, you know, you can wind up in a place where you're believing your own hype, you're believing your own statements, and when you're absolutely dead wrong. Eventually, the good news for him, Pat, is that at the end of the program, he was being enlightened. He was seeing the error of his ways, and they were able to, you know, get him on board. But it took it was interesting how it took a while because he was so resistant, so resistant.
And that's something.
Yeah, and James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." And 1 Peter 4:5 says that all of you. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And just to me, that was just an opportunity. I said, Lord, you're speaking to me, and I receive it. You know, I don't want to put pride in my heart. And it's just another wonderful opportunity to look at the dangers of pride and to see the things that we're missing. Listen, life is too short to be walking around with blinders and not to be open to the fact that maybe you can be wrong, you know.
Hello.
And that you can begin to humble yourself before people and definitely before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, humility is the path. Humility is the way. I mean, Jesus was the most humble person who ever walked the face of the earth. And he gave us the most perfect and the wonderful example. But if we choose not to walk in humility, if we choose not to clothe ourselves and put on, it's interesting how the scripture says to put on, clothe yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you have to be engaged in, you know, all the time. You need to be aware of it. Don't look for, you know, pride. Look for where there's humility in your life, because I need all the grace that I can get,
and I want to
be in that place of humility. I want to, you know, lower still, as we've already said. Because that's where God is. That's where the blessing is. That's where the grace is. But pride is just—it's a slippery slope. Pride goes before destruction, and you don't want to have a haughty spirit. And you know what? God resists the proud, and I don't want God to resist me. You know what I mean?
No.
I want God to receive me. But this is an interesting picture, live and in living color, to be able to illustrate and to see. Hey, this is not going well, and the blinding power of pride. I want to encourage you that, you know, if you're missing things in your life, if other people are saying it, you know, two or three witnesses, you know, can all 50 people be wrong? Can they all be blind? You know what I'm saying? Can every boss not know what they're saying? Can every multiple spouse maybe can be all wrong? You know, there's something there. It's maybe a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Maybe go on a journey where you begin to say, Lord, you know, help me to humble myself. Give me the grace to bring myself down.
Right. Be ready for the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Be ready for the answer. But it's good, you know, because when God speaks and God reveals your heart, as we were talking about in a previous program, then we can acknowledge, we can confess, and we can repent. And the only place to be is lower still.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret so shameful that you've never spoken of it? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Julie Barnhill offering a suggestion to help find healing.
The first thing you have to do is you have to own it. And I tell women this all the time. I believe there's something powerful about speaking what is your secret, speaking that is so shameful. And I will encourage women, especially when we have workshops, and I'll say, I want you at some point today, whether it's you go to a wall and you cup your mouth and you just whisper it just so you can hear it, that you say that awful, ugly thing.
Speaking a shameful secret out loud, even to yourself, may help reduce its power over you and can bring some much-needed relief. Now, if you need help with a painful issue, consider our counseling hotline at 1-800, the letter A, and the word family.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear His voice and obey Him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear His voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear His word. We need to get to know His voice better, be absolutely resolved to know His voice better. And we need to get better at obeying His voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study His word, then you'll understand He always rescues His people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to His plan. You have to know Him. You have to understand how to hear His voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. You know, we were talking about, right before we went to the break, about the dangers of pride. And in our previous program, we've talked about, you know, having a guarded heart, that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It's where everything flows out of your heart. And if you don't, you know, protect your heart, if you don't protect what is simmering and what you hold in there, then your heart can get hard, you can get full of idols, and you can literally pull yourself right off the path of following the Lord, and you're gonna be following Satan. You can just be snatched right off. And I shouldn't even say snatch. You progressively are walking your way off the path. And it's just so important to be aware of that. And you know, we're talking about this program where the restaurant needs to get some fixing up there. It needs a change. And it's amazing that once the leadership gets changed, the rest of the organization gets changed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The restaurant is oftentimes, you know, a sign of what's going on with the management or the person that owns it. We're talking about this program called Restaurant Impossible. And before the break, we're talking about how this one owner who clearly needed the help because he's on the program. The whole premise of the program is that your business is in trouble and the chef comes in and he helps you out and kind of does an inventory checklist of what's going on. And sure, you know, oftentimes there's, you know, cosmetic issues. There's maybe advertising issues. Maybe there's, you know, quality and food issues. But 9 out of 10 times, I would dare say that the biggest issue that the owner runs into is the whole issue with the owner. The chef runs into the issue with the owner. What's going on with that individual person? And in this case, it was this man had a whole bunch of pride. Mm-hmm. And he really thought that everything just rested upon him, that his word was it. And he thought his food was amazing. And he had to humble himself. He really had to humble himself to find out that his food really wasn't all that. Mm-hmm. And that a chef had to basically teach him what to do. And it was hard for him to receive that. And that's what a lot of times pride looks like. You know, pride causes you to be so blind that you defend what you know instead of wanting to grow. And if what you know is actually wrong, what are you defending?
Right.
You know, what are you defending? It's a lot like offense. You know, you get offended and then it's like, oh my goodness, the walls come up, all these barriers, and it's like, really? Is that really worth being offended over? Is that, you know, what's the issue there? And so there's a warning for us, a repeated warning in the scriptures to guard ourselves from pride, to position ourselves in a place that we can remain low. And to me, one of the clearest, you know, things that you see in the scripture that really should help us all to be motivated is when we realize that the scriptures say that God opposes the proud. I mean, he literally has, you know, opposes mean that he's not welcoming you here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about a proud or haughty spirit that says that I can do it on my own. I can pull myself up on my own bootstraps. I don't need to listen to counsel or be open. And you start taking your own counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that you can read the Bible and see many of the people that have walked in along that journey, it didn't end well for them. It didn't end well for them, and we can learn from others' mistakes. We can buy the experience and not, you know, we can borrow the experience rather and not have to buy the experience when we can see the consequences and some of the things that have happened for those that don't stay dependent upon the Lord.
Right.
You know, and it's something that, you know, I think that every single person has to deal with, you know, but it's only going to be dealt with at the cross. It's only going to be dealt with at the cross. And it's like, you look back and you say, really? You were prideful about that? Like, really? You know, is that what gave you value or something? Is that what you were holding on to?
Right.
And it just looks so silly when you're looking at it from a different perspective, when your eyes are open and you look back and say, yikes, I took extreme pride in this or I took extreme pride in that. And you're realizing, man, that was nothing. That was nothing. And when we look at humility, you know, being humble, there's a difference between humiliated and being humble. And I think oftentimes people get confused with that and they think, well, if I'm humble, you know, I don't want to be humiliated or I don't want to be less than.
I don't want to look bad.
I don't want to look bad. And what's the common denominator in there? Me. And we, you know, especially live in an American society where everything is always about the individual. It's always about, you know, me and I, and not about us and them. And let me tell you, the kingdom of God is all about us and them first.
That's right.
And you're last. In fact, Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest, you got to be the last. You got to be the servant of all. You got to be like this child. And it's amazing how God opens up himself and he opens, you know, revelation when we position ourselves in a place of being low. Understand that God gives grace to the humble. We can't do anything outside of God. I mean, if God took a pinky off of you, you couldn't even tie your shoelace.
Right.
You know, nothing that we have, we shouldn't take pride in anything, because anything that any person has ever received all came Father filtered.
Never been of it.
You know, every position, everything, All we need to put is our complete dependency upon the Lord. And when I look at what's going on with America and this nation, if we don't humble ourselves, if we don't cry out to God, if we don't recognize the amazing grace that God has poured out on this great nation, I'm telling you, we're going to be not only humbled, we're fixing to be humiliated.
That's right.
That's a little Southern there for you. Fixing. We're about fixing. We're about to get humiliated. Why be humiliated? When we can just position ourselves before the Lord and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. I'm going to let you lead the way. Lead us. Guide us into all truth. I am not the truth. You are the truth, the way, and the life. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much. And he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me here today on VFN Radio Program is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello. My goodness, we have an exciting program today. We're excited about all those that are joining with us. All across the country and the world. We're going to be talking about the citizenship game. Tune in. Listen, this is an educational game where you can learn some things about American history at our expense. We're going to attempt to do a very good job here for you, but please don't laugh too much as we try to answer some of these questions. These are the questions that folks who want to become citizens in our country, they have to take this test. And it's only fitting that, my goodness, you know, we're citizens. Let's see if we know this stuff. And you're going to find that some of these questions are challenging. They're really, really good. And every American citizen should know them. But before we do that, we want to talk about being grateful. It's something that oftentimes we're missing in our culture. It's something that we're missing in our lives, especially in the United States. I mean, we live in a land that's so blessed, and we have so many things at our disposal that oftentimes I've noticed that many folks are not even grateful for what they have. They spend more time focusing on what they don't have than on what they do have. And they treat a lot of things like it's an entitlement, something that they just deserve to get. And if we don't pause, if we don't pause to be grateful to the Lord, we're, you know, destined to lose every little thing that we think is small. We're about to lose everything. And one of the things that I think we greatly overlook and we just think is a huge entitlement, Pat, is this thing called food. It used to be that people, before they ate, they would pray for every meal. Not just to thank the Lord, right? But because they were really appreciative. Pat, did you know that 1 in 6 people in America are hungry? They go to bed hungry.
Wow.
They go to bed hungry.
In
the world. 1 in 6 people, in America, and that's 1 billion people around the world.
Right.
1 in 6 in America and 1 billion people around the world go to bed hungry. I want to encourage you today. Be grateful for everything. There's nothing that small. The next time you put something in your mouth, before you do so, don't just get into routine and just say anything or just, you know, start eating or even just do a kind of a quick little courtesy prayer. No, actually be genuine and thank God that you are blessed in this country and that you are allowed to eat all the wonderful things that we're able to eat to sustain ourselves. You, your children, and your friends. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Five years ago, and you'll remember this, Pat. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, the Lord led me to buy a vehicle. Okay? The Lord led me to buy a vehicle. And it was time in our life that, you know, we didn't want to get into a car payment or nothing like that. And since then, I've had car payments, you know what I'm saying, since that time. But at that particular time, we just wanted to just buy something cash. And I wanted to spend about, I think it was $3,000 or something like that, you know, and then just a second vehicle.
Pocket change for John.
Walking around change.
That's Pat's bling bling money. But anyway.
That's Chris's.
Bling. I'm sorry. Chris is
the bling bling.
Chris is the bling bling.
Pat just buys Sink's paraphernalia. Oh, they have toothpicks with
not
like a logo on it?
Not just my tools.
Yeah, tools. Yeah, that's his generator.
Nothing I can use.
Well, so I'm spending all this time, and me and Pat, actually you and I were both looking for a vehicle that time. And
was it the same time?
Yeah, same exact time.
Oh, wow.
So I'm scouring.
Which is paid off, by the way.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. God is good.
God is very good. Mm-hmm.
You want to pay mine off now?
No. I got another one.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, to move a new, bigger, longer
that
limousine.
Have you seen it? Yeah, it's on the torch. It's on the torch. Yeah. If you haven't seen
that one, big
Pat's
enough
limo
for his trainer.
Oh, yeah.
For his trainer to fit in there.
he's bulking up. Protein.
Got to make room for my tools.
Oh.
Is that what he calls his biceps?
Wow.
You got names for them now?
You got names? He removed guns. He wanted a more subtle approach. Calls them tools now. Yeah. You know, he thought guns was over the top. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I got pistols.
water gun pistols.
Water gun pistols.
Squirt. Cap gun.
Cap guns.
Cap.
Ting, 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 ting. What were you talking about?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to be able to do the Constitution, U.S. citizenship test. And, you know, with that, of course, what we do is when we're doing the citizenship test, we have a little fun we like to play with it where, you know, that if you get the answer right, we're not going to ask 5 questions today. If you get the answer right, of course, you're going to hear a wonderful, wonderful sound, which sounds like all of our listeners, what? Bang. Oh, there you go. Exactly. Exactly. And of course, we're going to give you time to think. When you get time to think, there's some familiar music you might hear that helps you kind of just think. Several times we had to restart that again and again and again, trying to figure out, like, that's a blank look at the course. If, in fact, you get the question not actually right, or better yet, well, if you miss the right answer, like Congress would
misspoke.
Say. Misspoke. The way Congress would say. Or if you just, if you're wrong, this is what you get. Well, in today's question is, John, talk a little bit about, you know, your experience so far, you know, all the things that you've learned as we were progressing, because isn't this amazing? I mean, this is, it's like, oh my goodness, the things that we took for granted that you kind of knew inside, but it didn't realize not only was it important, it's the supreme way that we're designed. It's constitution for constitution means that's how we're made up. That's how we're made up. It's our makeup. Mm-hmm. When somebody tries to, you know, you're how you're connected, how things work. And when we talk about doing away with the Constitution, we're talking about doing away with the very thing of how we're formed and how we're made.
Right. Well, I mean, this has been a wonderful time to be going through this test that you're just saying. I mean, think about it. So many people are wanting to come to this great nation of ours. They're wanting to come to a land of freedom. They're wanting to come and leave whatever was their home country to come to a land of great opportunity where they can establish, you know, a place where their family can grow and enjoy the freedoms that this country affords us because of the Constitution. But they have to take this test, and I'm amazed at the stuff that we knew and the stuff that we didn't know, me in particular. And I just learned so much, and I'm enjoying this. I'm glad that we have this on the torch, so you can feel free to always go back and refresh and learn yourself. You can catch the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the torch. But the test is wonderful. I know that I was challenged to find out some of these answers to some of these great questions. But, you know, we talked about how many senators are in a state, you know, how many people actually make up Congress. What are the three branches of our government? I mean, that's at such a foundation. When you talk, you have an executive branch, you have a judicial branch, and then you have Congress.
The House of Representatives.
House of Representatives, who make the laws, and how important. Well, that was very good. You're listening.
I was paying attention.
You're paying attention. Very good. So it's been great. And to think that, my goodness, how can we have such high expectations for others that are coming into this country if we as Americans, who just happen to be born in this country, we didn't do anything special for it, don't even know that the reason this country was formed, you know, how important the Declaration of Independence, you know, what are some of the rights that were spoken of in the Declaration of Independence, why that we have freedom of religion. And I just encourage you, continue to listen, continue to share with your friends, because as we get ourselves educated, we're going to appreciate this precious document. I find that oftentimes things that are not appreciated, it's oftentimes because they've been overlooked. They don't understand the value. It's like, you know, you have a child who's holding one of their mother's figurines or a vase. Boy, put that down. You know how much that costs. He has no concept. Well, that's just a small little example. But if we don't know how precious our Constitution is, we won't stand for it, and we'll let it be taken away.
That's totally good. So here we go. We are about ready to start today's U.S. citizenship test. Boy, that USS ship thing always is coming up. This is my Navy days, I guess. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the U.S. citizenship test. We're so welcome. Okay.
Calm down.
Here we are. We're on question 51. We're only going to do 5 questions today. And, of course, we want you guys to be as humiliated as possible so we can enjoy this lesson learning that we're having in civics, you know, in our nation and how things are done. So here's the question. I want you to listen to the question, and then I want you to take time to think about it. And when you're thinking about it, of course, you're going to be have the thinking music. And when you're ready to give your final answer, you let us know. And then the music will stop, and then we will listen to your final answer. If you get it right... If you get it wrong, so let's go. John, the very first question for today is, from the U.S. citizenship test, will you have to self-deport? What? Okay. What are what? You're not Googling, are you? Anything? You keep no, your hand. I want to see your hand. Put your hands on the steering wheel, sir. Put your hands on the wheel. There
put
we
your
go.
Hands on your
on the
head.
Steering wheel. Yeah. What are two rights? What are two rights of everyone living in the United States? What are two rights of everyone living in the United States? Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Here we are. Of course, there's more than two, but all you do is just name two of them. What are two rights of everyone? Think about it. That's everyone. That's you. If you're listening right now, these are your rights. What are two rights of everyone living in the United States? John?
Liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh my goodness. Oh
my. You have to the rights of liberty. No. Can I try again?
Oh my goodness.
I think you
What's
did,
happened
bro.
Here? What happened here?
Okay, freedom of speech.
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on
a
minute.
Okay.
Well, how many shots you get? At?
Yeah. Right. So, Pat, there's several rights that every citizen has. Mm-hmm. What are two of those rights? This is you get the right to steal.
Oh, steal.
Stealing, right?
That's not a right.
That's not a constitutional right. Right.
I don't think that's.
You can borrow. This is borrow. What are two of the rights? Two rights of the several rights that we have as every U.S. citizen has.
Okay. Well, we have the right to vote. I don't get an applause for that one. And
are you sure?
A positive.
Come on!
We have a right
what if
to
you're,
vote.
But what if you're a felon?
Well...
Here's it. Let me. Okay.
Was there a clause in that question?
We're all learning. We're all like, hey, here it is. That's it. What are two rights of, you know, there's several of them.
Yeah.
What are two rights? When you think about the amendments, those are our rights. Remember the Bill of Rights?
Mm-hmm.
So you can always find out what our rights are in the Bill of Rights.
We have the right to bear arms.
Whoa.
Yes.
It's my turn. Okay. What are two rights?
I got some questions.
Everyone living in the United States. Here they are. This is it. The freedom of expression. Like you were free to be wrong with that answer. I'm just telling you. He almost spit his Gatorade all over me. He's like, wrong. You gotta play that Fonzie moment. And then that's one. Another one is the freedom of speech. The very fact that we can be on VFN TV and VFN radio and just saying what's we feel is right. There's a freedom of speech. So a freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly that, you know, that we take it for granted, but that we can come together in a mall, or we can come together in a building somewhere and gather up with more than one person. Mm-hmm. And we have a right to do that. Nobody, we don't have to get a permit or anything like that to be able to come together, because every U.S. citizen has the right to assemble, which is important when you're talking about worship, you know, and all mm-hmm. that. Which is another one. Another right that we have is a freedom to worship. And another is a freedom to petition the government. That's huge, because it used to be where the whatever the king said, that's how it went. Right. Right now we have somebody trying to talk about taking away some of our rights, which is another right, is the right to bear arms. Right? And so the Bill of Rights helps us on these things to remember mm-hmm. what they are. But the right to bear arms, and so we have the right to petition the government and say to the government, because we have a right to express ourselves. We have a right to petition the government and say, you can't take away our Second Amendment rights. You have not violated anything. That's your right as American. As an American citizen, mm-hmm. you can write your congressman, you can write your senator, you can write your president and say, listen, this is wrong. You can't do this. And I won't vote for you next time if that's what you do. So I just want to encourage you. That's two. That's we're asked two of them. It's all of them. We have the right to freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition the government, freedom of worship, you know, as a church, so we can come together. That's actually written in the Constitution, that you have the right as American citizen to worship God freely without any laws being made towards. That's huge. Mm-hmm. That's why they're messing with that. And then finally, the right to bear arms. Okay, here we go. John, question number two.
Come on.
I love that. Chris is like, it's Pat, it's Pat. I'm waiting for the reaction. Waiting for the moment.
Tilt.
Pat.
Yes.
For your citizenship to still maintain it to be a Kentomite, what do you, ready? Mm-hmm. What do we show loyalty to? What do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance? What do we show loyalty to? It's a loyalty. What mm-hmm. do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance? Here we are. What do we show loyalty to? This is the U.S. citizenship test. This is what everybody who comes to our country, this is, I want to be a citizen of the United States of America. They have to pass this number 52 question mm-hmm. on the citizenship test, which a lot of Americans have totally would fail this one, mm-hmm. is what do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, when we say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Mm-hmm. One is the flag of the mm-hmm. United States of America.
Yeah.
And to the Republic. Which it stands.
That's right. So we're actually, when we're saying when we hold our hand over our heart and say, I pledge allegiance, we're saying I pledge allegiance to the United States. Allegiance is saying, I'm with America. I stand under the Constitution. I'm with the other citizens. And that's why you see people saying, listen, we don't want to have the Pledge of Allegiance in the schools, because they're trying to break down the allegiance that we had and have as a citizen of the United States of America to the supreme law of the land, mm-hmm. which gives us the right as Christians, listen, the right to worship freely. Why would we want to give that up? So many people are fighting for that, and we have it already. Now all we have to do is stand up for it. So when they actually say a pledge of allegiance to the flag, what you're saying is that you are for the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. That is so, so very, very important for us to go back and realize we're not just saying some little poem or something that just sounds good. We're really pledging allegiance, because when you become an American citizen, when you become the president, a congressman, a senator, a general, a military man, and a citizen, you have to swear an oath of allegiance to this country and say that you break all loyalties and allegiance to any other nation and any other government, prince, potentate, or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's so many allegiances in America, but lately I haven't found any allegiance to the United States of America mm-hmm. and to the flag in which it stands, to the republic, which we're a representative government. A lot of people say, I have an allegiance to their religion, you know, they have allegiance to their country they came out of, but they don't have an allegiance to the United States of America and the Constitution, and understanding that with that gives us as Christians the right to be able to worship God freely without government making any laws concerning that, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Huge, the Bill of Rights. Okay, John, here it goes.
Wait a minute, I didn't get my applause.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
That's something. I didn't even realize that.
Wow.
They must have known you got it right or not. I don't know what that is.
Just making sure everybody knew.
I wonder if you got it wrong. What do you say? Y'all forgot to boo me. Y'all forgot to boo me.
This is the first in the U.S. citizenship game. I think we have to note that. Wow.
I know it. But rest assured, I doubt very seriously you'll say you forgot to boo me.
that won't happen.
So if you would like to post your boos on our Facebook or send them in, be sure to do that. Of course, you can find it at VFNTV.com. Okay, question number next, which is 53 on the citizenship test. John, here it is. What is one promise? What is one promise you make when you become a United States citizen? What is one promise you make when you become a United States citizen? Of course, there are several of them, but what is one? When you actually become a citizen of the United States. All right, here it is. Of course, there are several of them. We want to know what is one promise you make when you become a United States citizen, John?
I'm going to say it is to defend, honor, live by the Constitution.
Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! That is very good. Very good. Okay. All right, but they didn't forget to applaud you at all, did they?
No, they did not.
You think about it, that's just one out of several of them. The thing is, the question was, what is one promise you make? You have to make a promise, several promises, when you become a citizen. And when we pledge allegiance to these promises. When a senator gets in office, they make a promise to these allegiance, and here they are. Of course, I gave it away. I was talking about it was the next question that came up, is that we give up loyalties to other countries. I promise to give up loyalties, even though I am Mexican from Mexico. When I become an American citizen, I'm an American Mexican. I'm American first. And my loyalty is to the United States. Even though I am Iranian, for example, when I come to America and I take the citizenship test and I become an American citizen, I give up all my allegiance to Ahmadinejad and their government and anything over there. Including that form of Islam that says that they actually believe that it should take over the Constitution. You got to say that doesn't work here because the Constitution is the supreme law. Religion is not the supreme law in America, but the Constitution is the supreme law in America. Mm-hmm. And so you have to renounce that and break those loyalties right there. And how many people do you see today that are not breaking their loyalties to anything? It's like, dude, don't you understand? You're violating the very, very Constitution, the thing that we're made of. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And the second one is defending the Constitution and laws of the United States of America. And that's what John was talking about. But just defending the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we have to know something before we can defend it. We have to know something. And so we need to defend it to be able to know. We have to know it to be able to defend it. A third one is to obey the laws of the United States, because the laws of the land, first of all, the Constitution is the supreme law, but also the laws in your state and all. You're saying, listen, I will obey the laws in the United States. Next is to serve in the military if needed. So when you become a citizen, not the ones that are born in America, but the ones who come to America, and I think it should really should be everybody, but right now, the way it's written in the Constitution is you have to agree to serve in the U.S. military if needed to. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the next one is to serve the nation if needed. Anything that they need, you got to agree. I will stand up and I'll serve the nation. Mm-hmm. And last is to be loyal to the United States. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
To be loyal to the United States. What a concept.
Wow.
That's what you say in your family. It's only going to work if people stick together in the context of family. So here's the next question. We've got to move along. The next question is, how old do citizens have to be to vote for the president of the United States? Here's a question then. How old do citizens have to be to be able to vote for the president of the United States?
You have to be 18.
Or older.
Or older. At least 18.
Oh, we would be in trouble if it was only 18-year-olds voting. A little stickler right there. Yeah, you can imagine. Only 18-year-olds can vote. It's over.
It's over
as we know it. Let's move right along. We're coming on the citizenship test here, right here. John Paul, here's the last question for the U.S. citizenship test to keep you from self-deporting. What are two ways that Americans can participate in democracy? What are two ways that Americans can participate, there's many, in democracy?
Yeah.
All right, here he is. Here's the question. The question is, from the U.S. citizenship test, what are two ways that Americans can participate, there's many, in their democracy?
I'm going to say vote.
Mm-hmm.
And join the military.
Well, it's got a half over there. Of course. Okay. Of course, you can vote. That's one. I'm going to list a couple off. You know, you can join a political party. You can help with a campaign. This is huge because you actually lose your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when a king, sometimes in America, you lose your head when you just, but you know, it's unconstitutional, by the way. You should be able to support anybody you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Join a civic group. Join a community group. Give an elected official your opinion on an issue. Call senators or representatives. Call them up and say, hey, you know, you're representing me. I was thinking about this. Publicly support or oppose an issue or a policy, or run for office. That's why you can participate. Or write to a newspaper.
Wow.
Well, this concludes the U.S. citizenship test for today. I believe you guys are like half deported and half Americans.
Oh, my goodness. Aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.